are you passing on to others? Today, Grandparents' Day, and as I sought the Lord for this message, and he revealed it to me, he revealed also to me that it's not just for grandparents. It's for everyone. It is for all ages, no matter what. So we'll begin with Proverbs 13:22a. Proverbs 13:22a. I'm using NIV. A good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. Now, if you look at scriptures around that, it's actually talking about finances and material things. A good man will leave an inheritance of something of value materially to your children and your children's children. And then Psalms 103:17 and 18. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. If you want to see your children and your grandchildren, or great-grandchildren too, become Christians, you're going to have to model Christianity to them. These verses in Psalms tells us his love and righteousness will be with our children and with our children's children if we keep his covenant and obey his precepts. We're going to be passing on our witness as Christians, whether you're young people or old people, doesn't matter. You're going to pass this witness that you have as a Christ server to others around you. And we're going to look at three areas in our lives that we have to pay attention to. Three areas. Now, of course, you know, there's way more than three areas we have to pay attention to as Christians, but I'm hitting on three this morning, and I think just trying to live for God and obey these three is a lot. I think you will agree as we go through these. Three areas that we're going to look at: what you do, number one, number two, how you act, and number three, what you speak or how you talk. So as I said at the opening of the message, the Bible is explicit about our responsibility to instill the love and knowledge of God in our children and our children's children. So too is God's word explicit about our responsibility to instill his love and knowledge to others. So this is for all ages. Number one, what you do. Everything that you do in your life reflects your relationship to God. Ponder that a moment. Selah. Think about it. Everything you do in your life reflects your relationship to God. Your home, how you take care of it, your yard, your dooryard, how you take care of it, your vehicle, I didn't say car, vehicle, they're all blessings from God. And how you care for them show those around you how you appreciate God's blessings. Your daily life, what you do, either encourages others, including your family, to want to know your God or not. I'm quoting two verses from the Living Bible, and I've written them there for you. We try to live in such a way that no one will ever be offended or kept back from finding the Lord by the way we act. So no one can find fault with us and blame it on the Lord. In fact, in everything we do, we try to show we are true ministers of God. 2 Corinthians 6:3-4 in the Living Bible. And these two verses I printed out for myself when I was a working woman and tacked them on my desk where I would read them every once in a while. Some of you are still working. out in the world. And this is a very good challenge to you when you're at work. I need to hear an amen. Okay, good. We try to live in such a way, and that should, as you have it on your desk, or I guess Kevin in your car, huh? That's kind of your office. You know, it will remind you that everyone is watching you and what you do. What do you do day in and day out that encourages others to know the relationship that you have with God? What do you do that encourages other people? Do they see your faith at work? Do they see you faithfully going to work? The Bible says, if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel or an unbeliever. 1 Timothy 5:8. That was from the King James. What do you do every day? Do your children, your grandchildren, your neighbors see you faithfully attend church services? I am saying faithful. I'm afraid in these latter days, many people go to church maybe once or twice a month. This church cannot survive if you people are only going to show up once or twice a month. We've got to be here faithfully. And Hebrews 10:25a says, let us not give up meeting together. Let us not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, the King James says. Do your children, your grandchildren see you and hear you pray? Do they see you read the Bible? You know, what do you do that helps those around you want to know your God? You're teaching everyone what you do. There was a commercial on TV a while back, and it showed a little boy, and he was trying to walk like his father walked. And then his father sat down and crossed his legs, and the little boy tried to cross his legs just like his daddy. And then it showed his daddy take out a pack of cigarettes and light up, and then it said, you know, what are you teaching your children? And for every one of us, what are we teaching those around us? With all the things that we do, what are we teaching? What you do is who you are. That's who you are. Be a Christian. You have a responsibility to be doing what Jesus would do. Children, grandchildren, friends, neighbors, they see things and want to do what they see you do. My granddaughter Kimmy, who is in her 20s, lives in Haver, is in Chi Alpha Ministry. This church supports them. She put on Facebook a couple of weeks ago, I want to do lipstick like Nana. I never thought that me putting on lipstick was making an impact on my grandchildren. I don't think it's a bad thing, and if you do think it's a bad thing, pray about it. But my granddaughter said, I want to be able to do lipstick like Nana. Folks, what we do, I mean, we just don't even think about it. But every little thing we do, I hope and pray that she's seen me pray and read my Bible, and it inspires her to do that. Along with the lipstick. Point two, how you act. You might think, well, what I do is how I act. Well, yeah, but I wanted to expand on that. Actions speak louder than words. Take me, for instance. Most of you know my life. We've been here 10 years. And you will never sit in one of these pews and receive a sermon from me and let God speak to your heart if my life doesn't measure up. My actions speak louder than anything I'll ever say to you. So won't yours speak to me louder than anything you say. You can say you're going to do a lot of things. If you don't follow up by your actions, you've just shown a fact that you lie. You can't be trusted. For us, as young people, parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, if we claim to be Christians, we have God's word telling us how to act that out. God makes it clear. He doesn't tell us to live a Christian life without laying it out very clearly what we're supposed to be doing. And I'm taking you to Galatians, where I told you to change your notes, Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Anyone want to say what that is before you look at it? Come on, Bible students. Galatians 5, 22 and 23, a fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit, this is the fruit of His Spirit, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. So, because we have His Holy Spirit living in us, this is what kind of actions our life is supposed to produce. This is how we're supposed to act. Now, because love is the first one that's named there, we're going to go to the love chapter. Anyone want to say where that is? 13, good. 1 Corinthians 13. I should have heard a lot more people say that. You got it in writing. You could have cheated. Love. It's the foundation. So that's where we go here. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. You're supposed to have this in you because Jesus lives in you. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. So then you go back to the fruit of the Spirit and see what comes after love. Joy, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And you go back to the love chapter. Love does not envy, doesn't brag or boast, is not proud, is not rude, is not self-seeking, is not easily angered, does not keep a record of wrongs. I'm praying that you see the way you act as it measures up to this. With His love in us and flowing out of us to others, they're supposed to sense, see, and feel these kind of actions in our life. If I'm rude, that's not Jesus. If I'm self-seeking, that's not Jesus. If I don't have any self-control, whether it's about anything, And that covers a lot of areas of our lives. If I don't have self-control, where is the love of Jesus in my life? You know, when you let his love flow through you, you're not going to be unkind, impatient, hateful. That's the opposite of kind. You know, our actions, and they're speaking louder than words. And you know, you have to love Jesus first and have his love flow through you to others. That's the only way that our actions can be what he wants them to be. You can't just, you know, slap your hand and say, I'm going to do better about that. You won't. Him. It's letting him fill you and enable you to be that way, to do those things, act that way. Everyone in this world is looking for love. Everyone. All of us. And people don't see it in us if we have envy and jealousy, and they can't feel it in us if we have pride and if we think in any way that we're better than anyone else. They can't see it in us if we're rude. When you love others, you won't get angry at them easily. I thought as I wrote that note down, because that's scripture, right? Does not get angry easily. Greg and I found that as we've gotten older, we've gotten more irritable. Anyone else that's gotten older find that happening? I didn't used to be that sensitive. I didn't used to jump right at the first thing that's said. And so we began to talk to each other about it because we realized, hey, we're hurting each other, you know. And we've both been working on it, and I think we're doing better. Dean sees a lot, so I hope you'd say amen, we're doing better. Right, Dean? Amen. 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 Does not anger easily. You see, when I'm preaching, God's preaching right at me. The way we act ties into the fruit of the Spirit living in us, the love, the joy, the peace, the patience, the kindness, the goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. All of those things need to live in us, live through us. So we covered number one, what you do, how you live day to day, what people see. Number two, how you act, your actions and your reactions to others. So now, number three, how do you talk? Remember, we're learning to be witnesses for Jesus because people are going to mimic what we do, try to be like us. What we speak, how we talk, is very important. Your words. Jesus tells us in lots of places, but I'm just taking you to Matthew 12, 33 through 37. And that's strong enough, I believe, to show us how we should talk. Matthew 12, 33 through 37. Make a tree good, and its fruit will be good. Make a tree bad, and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him. Evil man brings evil things out of evil stored up in him. And I tell you that men will have to give account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted. By your words you will be condemned. How are you talking with your buddies and friends, young people? How are you talking at work when you don't feel or see any other Christians around? What kind of language do your grandchildren hear from your mouth? You know, when we're all together with family, we let our guard down and we be the people we really are. Not so nice as when we're in church and our guard is up and we're being everything you could dream for us to be. How are our words then? Because everyone around you is taking them in. And Jesus said, we're going to stand accountable. And he also says here, and the King James says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So who you really are, no matter what you claim, this stuff that comes out of your mouth, Jesus says, that's who you really are. How are you doing? How are you doing? You will answer. By your words, you will be acquitted, or by your words, you will be condemned. What kind of language are we instilling in those around us? And Jesus refers to us as trees that bear fruit. We've just looked at the fruit of our lives and what it should be producing. How we talk shows the kind of person we really are. When we looked at number one, what you do, we could realize that a lot of people seem to be doing the right things. They go to church faithfully. They even do church work. Possibly even say grace at the meal table. But when you hear how they talk, oh, no, no. You know that person's heart is lacking the relationship with Jesus that he says we must have. We looked at number two, how you act. And you'll meet many people who act patient, loving, humble, thoughtful of others even. You scratch your head and say, I know they're not a Christian, but goodness, they're showing a lot of actions that the Bible says a Christian would have. And the only time we realize that they're not is when they open their mouth and you hear what they say. They might swear, they might tell dirty jokes. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. We need to be so careful, folks, that we're not denying what Christ has done in us and how he lives in us by a bad mouth, a mouth that doesn't measure up to that. Proverbs 17:6 says, your grandchildren are a crown to you, and you parents are the pride of your children. So today I challenge you to make sure that's true. Most of all, that how you act, what you do, and how you speak is pleasing to God. That's the most important. And if you're pleasing him, those who try to follow your footsteps will do okay. Would you stand?